Dear Father, thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you for your love. And Lord, just a lot of times we don't understand things, and Lord, we can't understand them. We don't have to be able to understand it and know, Lord. The only thing we need to do, Lord, is to know that you are in control. Your ways are best. You don't make any mistakes. Lord, you've got a purpose in all of this. And Lord, we don't even have to know what that is. We just trust you and say, Lord, and just pray that, Lord, just through this whole thing, that your will be done. Lord, your will be done. And work, use this to glorify yourself in whatever way you can see. So just pray now that you'll open our hearts, Lord, for, as we study this book of Romans, Lord, it's a wonderful book. It's a challenging book. And Lord, just help us to learn and to grow from it as we study it. Help us to be obedient, Lord, and to do the things that we're commanded to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now I want to say you're dismissed. No. Okay, we finished off last night with Romans chapter 10, verse 17. And so this morning we're going to pick it up in verse 18. But this whole thing flows from the verse 13 all the way through. So just to get the whole flow together here, I'd like to back up to verse 13. And we'll read verse 13 through 21. And then we'll pick it up in verse 18. So who would read 13 through 21 for us? John?
For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Elias saith, Lord, who have believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, the sound went into all the earth, the words into the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? Jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Elias is very bold and saith, I was found of them and sought me not, that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands into a disobedient against sin.
Okay, thank you, John. There's a lot of stuff in what he just read. And by the way, I just want to throw this out right quick. I've had some people come up and ask me, they say, Jim, with all you've had going on, how in the world can you stand up there and keep teaching out of the book of Romans? And my answer is, folks, to go to the Word of God for me has been a haven. It has been a rest. And I need that. And I just flee to it, and just preparing these lessons, diversification. What's the word I'm trying to say?
Therapy.
Therapy. Yeah. Right. Okay. It's therapy. And I'll throw this out too. That thing of doing Claude the other night, folks, that was therapy. Okay. Crazy therapy, but it was therapy. Anyway. Okay. So I meant to say that because it is. It'd probably be better if I was teaching a book of Psalms rather than going through this stuff. But anyway, no, it's good. The Word of God is a haven of rest. Haven of rest. Okay. So verse 18, we've already talked about, you know, we're going to pick it up at 18, not back up. So verse 18 starts off, but I say, have they not heard? And it says, yes, verily their sound went into all the earth and their words to the end of the world. And Paul's point is the message has gone out into the whole world. They have all seen it. There's two different ways that the word, well, the second one is kind of, anyway, there's one main way that the message has gone out into the world, and who can tell me what that is? There's a main way that the message that God exists has gone out into the world. What is that?
Creation.
Exactly. Okay. And we've studied that. In fact, the very first thing that I taught when I started teaching here was creation. And I went through, and I love teaching on creation. I love it. And anyway, what is this? Okay, there's another one. It's not as easy to find, but who could tell me what the second way is that there's a message that's gone out to all the world? Yes, sir.
God's written his law on our hearts.
Right. Okay. Yes, he has. All right. It's John chapter 1, verse 9. And it talks about that Christ has enlightened every man that cometh into the world. God has given us a conscience. God has given us all a God-sized vacuum inside of our heart, inside of our body, our heart, you know. People fill that vacuum with other things. But it's there. God's given us a conscience. We know that there is right from wrong. Now, our conscience can be seared. We can quench the spirit. And these types of things, but that is another way God has enlightened every person coming into the world. And that's kind of harder to pick up than the thing on creation. And again, with creation, I love the topic. And anyway, you remember when we had Romans 1, 19 and 20, you know, I wrote a thing that talked about, you know, just take a look at the world and what all goes on and the things that, you know, we need air and the plants need carbon dioxide and we breathe off, you know, the whole thing is, it's all together. The planets, they're traveling through space at thousands of miles an hour, and yet we can predict precisely where they're going to be to where we can send a satellite out and land it on Mars. You know, and all these things are traveling thousands of miles an hour in different places. Anyway, we could predict. There is an order, folks, that we can see. And God ends at verse 20, they're without excuse. And God will hold every man accountable. So, anyway. All right, back to the notes here. It's what Paul says, what Paul's doing here in this verse 18. He is actually quoting Psalm 19:4. And so let's go ahead and turn to Psalm 19:4, and again, Paul goes to the Old Testament to tell these Jews, hey, it's there. You know, he's going to quote Isaiah, and he's going to quote Moses this morning. And Psalm 19, and let's just read Psalm 19, 1 through 4. And who'd read that? Delbert?
The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utter speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language, for their voice is not heard. Your line has gone out through all the earth,
okay. In other words, just talk about the heavens, the creation, just, you know, it screams out that there's a creator. You know, this didn't happen. I mean, okay, just like the satellite, we say we can land a satellite on Mars. How in the world with preciseness? I mean, the sun is going to come up. I predict the sun's going to come up tomorrow morning. Right on time, okay? How could that have happened with such precision from the Big Bang? Have an evolutionist explain that to you. I mean, folks, they do not have a leg to stand on, except the only thing, there's an evolutionist that said, why do we have the theory of evolution? And the guy ended because the other there's evolution and there's a thought about a creator, But the thought of there being a creator is completely unthinkable. Completely unthinkable. You know, and we will not, we'll buy into anything, but we're not going to believe there's a God. And he has screamed it, that there is one through creation. Just the, you know, the preciseness. There is a divine creator, and his name is Jesus Christ. And without him was not anything made that was made. The psalmist is talking about creation. That creation is speaking. Just like it says in Romans 1, 19 and 20. So let's turn to Romans chapter 1. And Alan, you had your hand up. Would you read Romans chapter 1, verses 19 and 20 for us, please? All right. We're not in a hurry. When you get to be my age, you don't get in a hurry anymore, folks. You just don't do it. I had a guy told me he was approaching his 100th birthday. And he told me one time, he says, "Jim, anymore when I stop, I don't skid." Dan Penner. They know him. Okay. Dan Penner. Okay, chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. Thank you. But does your Bible say misunderstood? It probably should say understood.
Oh, I'm sorry. It says understood. Understood.
Okay, good. Yeah, I don't know. Whoa, you may get a better, different translation there. So. Okay. Yeah, okay. No, it... I mean, it just says here, God's eternal power and glory is displayed, you know, through creation. His eternal, I mean, folks, that took power. That takes wisdom. And not only did he create it, he sustains it. And he's holding all this thing together. And don't get me started on creation again. I love talking about creation. All right. David is talking about the stars and the heavenly bodies. He says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork." Paul is saying that everywhere you look, there's evidence of the presence and glory of God. It's revealed. "That which may be known of God is all around them, showing his eternal power and Godhead." Folks, there is a creator for this thing to happen. Evolution is a joke. It's a farce. And... But that is an example of man at his best. You know, what man, when he rejects what God has to say, this is the best man can do. And for everyone is responsible for hearing the nonverbal part of God's message, which is creation, and accepting it. At the end of that verse 20, it says, they are without excuse. God will hold them accountable. Because they turn their eyes the other way, they won't open their eyes and look and see what is clearly displayed right at our very feet. It's all around us. We can't miss it. Got to pull my paper clip off here. Even those who live in the remotest regions of the world and have never heard the gospel message, they can see creation. Now, a lot of times we don't open our eyes and do it, but it's there, clearly displayed. God in his omniscience, which means his all-knowing, God knows everything, will see someone and see that somehow he will hear the gospel message. If somebody has got an open heart to receive the gospel message, God will see that it gets to it. I don't know how he works that out. That's his business, not mine. That is to say that to the seeking heart, the open heart, it is available. To say that it's gone out into all the earth is not necessarily to say the fullness of the gospel has been exposed to every single individual, but that is it is extended in such a way that where there is a seeking heart, there will be a message given by God. And we have to leave that with God. That's his business. John 1:9, it says, Christ is a true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Every man has got this God-sized vacuum. Unfortunately, they don't always fill it with God. They fill it with the lusts of the world. Somehow, some way, God communicates his truth beyond what we might understand. God may use a missionary, a Bible, a radio broadcast, another person talking to them, speaking to them, okay? And with that, the opportunity to respond to the gospel is there. God gives them the opportunity. Now they can still accept or reject. Man has still got that choice. All I can tell you is this. This is what the Bible says. That's what God says. That's God's business, how he handles that. And God makes no mistakes. God makes no mistakes. Verse 19. But I say, did not Israel know? Didn't they know what? Didn't they know the gospel message was a message for the whole world? Talking about the Jews. I mean, it's in the Old Testament. We've read several scriptures that gives the plan of, you know, that gives the gospel in the Old Testament. Didn't they know the gospel message would go beyond the Jew? You know, no. They didn't, they miss it. They missed it. And they probably read it and chose to ignore it. Didn't they know there would be Gentiles included? Sure they knew. At least they should have known. And here's why they should have known. And now he goes ahead and he quotes Moses. Verse 19. No, I'm sorry. Verse 19. And it says, I will provoke you to jealousy by them who are no people, and by a foolish nation will I anger you. All right, let's take a look at what he quoted. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 32. And we'll see where Paul digs this out of the Old Testament. And by the way, when we're done with this verse, don't leave Deuteronomy. We're gonna be here for a little longer. So Deuteronomy 32:21. Who'd read that for us? Delbert?
They have provoked me to jealousy by what is not God. They have moved me to anger by their foolish idols. I will provoke them to jealousy by those who are not a nation. I will move them to anger by a foolish nation.
Okay. Just about a direct quote coming right out of Deuteronomy. It's Moses. Moses has written this. And Moses telling Jews right there, I'm going to provoke you to jealousy. I'm going to include others, the Gentiles. And what Paul is saying here is he said, Deuteronomy told you this. You should have known it. You should have seen it. You studied the scriptures. You brag about how spiritual you are and how much you read the Bible and you're all puffed up about it. Okay? You should have known it. He's saying that the day would come when God would embrace a no people, a foolish nation. That is the Gentiles. And to provoke you to jealousy about his relationship to them. And he said, you knew that. And that was in Deuteronomy 32:21. Okay. Delbert, you're there. Would you go ahead and read, verse 5 now.
31:5?
Yeah, 31:5.
31. It is 32.5.
Okay.
All right, for some reason I can't read my own notes. My notes say 32.
I'll read 32.5.
Yes.
They have corrupted themselves, they are not his children, because of their blemish, first and crooked generation.
All right. So there God talks about the unbelief of Israel. Now I read 32.20, Delbert. All right. And then God is saying there that, I'm going to turn to another people, another nation, non-Jewish Gentiles, and I will bless them and provoke you to jealousy. This stuff's coming right out of the book of Deuteronomy. Moses wrote that. And so God took the gospel message and gave it to the Gentiles who didn't know anything, and they believed it. They were not seeking God. We've been through this in the past. You know, Paul keeps going. We keep going over things over and over and over and over. It's because Paul did. Apparently, the Holy Spirit wants us to get it. So he repeats it. The Jews knew that they were God's chosen people who were supposed to be the center of God's blessing. And that's the way it actually started out. You can flip back to Romans now. The fact that Israel became jealous means they understood that the Gentiles had received it. God took his blessings, and the Jews are supposed to be the ones to proclaim the gospel. They wouldn't do it. So God gave it to the Gentiles. The Gentiles weren't looking for it. They weren't seeking God, nothing, but God gave it to them in his sovereignty. And right now, and basically, it's the Gentiles today, to this day, that are ones proclaiming the gospel. The Jews aren't. There's some that are, the remnant are, but the others are not. They're waiting for the Messiah to come. And now Gentiles are getting God's blessings, and that made them jealous. Makes them jealous. They see God's blessing the Gentiles. He's supposed to be blessing us. We're not getting blessed. We're getting persecuted. We're getting slaughtered. Everybody hates us. They want to drive us into the sea to this day. They don't get it. They're jealous. The Jews didn't like the terms God laid down or how the blessings were to come. They wanted it done their way. We're the chosen people. We're the fair-haired boy, if you would. It isn't that they didn't understand it. They just didn't like what they understood. So they rejected it. It's there. They've read it. The issue was not clarity. It was an issue of the will of the Jews. As they had given their love to another God, so God gave his love to another people. And we can rejoice in the fact that we are included. We are included. Thank you, Lord, that we are included. Jesus made this so clear to them in Matthew 21 and 22. He says, you don't want to come to the banquet? I'll get some people who will come to the banquet. You don't want to serve me? I'll find some people who do. You want to kill my servants and kill my son? I'll give out my vineyard to someone else who is worthy of it. In Luke 14, it says, you don't want to come to my great supper? You don't want to eat of this feast? Then I'll go out in the highways and the byways, and I'll call the lame and the blind and the halt and all the rest of them in here. God says, if you're not going to do it, I'm going to find somebody else that will. Jesus said in his ministry, if you don't want the kingdom, I'll find somebody who does. And that's what he did. In fact, I never understood all that banquet, you know, the stuff that I just talked about. And those, you know, I often wondered, what does that mean? And that's, this has just clarified it for me. And how many times have I read that in the past and didn't understand it? This, folks, I'm still learning, and I'm still learning the basics, the simple stuff. Bible 101. And that's exactly what Moses said would happen in Deuteronomy 32:21. It happened just like God said. And it provoked them to jealousy. So it's a profound message in chapter 10 that Israel is set aside. And now, is this ignorant unbelief of Israel, is it permanent? Has God rejected Israel permanently? No. No. Their future blessing is still coming. God's promised it. He's talked about it. It's going to happen. Okay? But it's not here yet. That's future. The answer to that question comes in chapter 11. The answer is no. And we're glad for that. We're glad for the Jews that they are included too. Verse 20. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not for me. This is referring to the Gentiles. The Gentiles weren't looking for him or nothing. God just brought him in. And so in verse 20 is a second Old Testament proof text. And so Moses, okay, we just went through Moses, okay? Moses in, representing the law, you know, in verse 19, we've seen that. And in representing the prophet, okay, all right, I'm getting my tongue ahead of my brain here. In verse 19 of Romans, the verse we just got ahead of this one here, he's referring to Moses. We quoted Moses out of Deuteronomy, and Moses represents the law. Now he's going to quote Isaiah, and Moses representing the prophets in verse 20. He says, but Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. All right, let's go look at where Paul's quoting from. Turn to Isaiah chapter 65. Isaiah 65:1. How about somebody else reading this morning and hasn't read yet today? Okay, thank you, sir. Okay, thank you. Go ahead, let's go ahead and read verses 2 through 4, as long as we're there. Let's just do it. Okay, thank you. And again, Paul has quoted Isaiah 65:1, you know, here in Romans. And so it's coming right out of the Old Testament. The word's very bold, and we go back to Romans now. The word's very bold mean clear, plain, easily understood. He says, I was found of them that sought me not. That's Gentile people. And the verse goes on to say, I was made manifest unto them that asked not for me. The Jews sought God. That was their whole life. I mean, they devoted themselves to studying the Word of God, and they bragged about it. how holy and how spiritual I am. They had a zeal for God. But Paul says early in this chapter, but not according to knowledge. We've been through that verse. They did it, but not according to knowledge. They did it their own way. They're making up their own rules. Is any churches today making up their own rules? Still going on. Still going on. And folks, that's something I love about this church. We teach the Word of God. I mean, we're coming right out of the Word of God, right out of the Bible. You know, preachers do. I mean, it's... Anyway, I'm just going to stop and say, you know, folks, it's hard to find a good church anymore. We looked for a long time. We looked for a long time. It's hard. I mean, we went through Hutch. We went through, you know, all around. Glad we wound up here. They sought for God, but they never found Him. There was a Gentiles who didn't seek or ask, and God had a relationship with them. He established a relationship with the Gentiles. Thank you, Lord. Any questions or comments before we move on? Getting ready to go to verse 21. Okay. Verse 21. But to Israel he saith, all day long have I stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. Quoted right out of Isaiah. And gainsaying people means like opposing people, or they're rejecting whatever I'm saying. And here he quotes Isaiah 65:2. So both of these verses come right out of chapter 65 of Isaiah, Old Testament. And remember, Moses and Isaiah are their heroes. These are guys they held them to in great esteem, high esteem. Abraham was another one. Paul's quoted Abraham in the past, you know, of what he did and, you know, talking about faith. Paul spent a lot of time in the Old Testament trying to convince these Jews. And they're standing back and hating him. So why did the Lord reject Israel and turn to the Gentiles? Because all day long he stretched forth his hands to a disobedient and opposing people. Folks, with God, there's a line somewhere. And when you cross that line, you're in trouble. God is long-suffering. And he waits for a long time. But eventually, you cross that line. I heard some preachers say that back when I was an unsaved person. And folks, that scared the daylights out of me as an unsaved person. I thought, man, because there's a time, you know, where God says, I'll not hear you anymore. I'm turning my face from you. Now, I don't know if that applies to salvation. I don't think it applies to salvation. Anyway, I'm getting off my notes. Here's where I get in trouble. But anyway, there's a point to where God says, you know, talking about the Jews and even in modern times, there's a time I'm going to turn my head. I'm not going to listen anymore. And it's there. It's Bible. Moving on. Get back to the notes. They would not respond. Disobedient literally means to refuse to believe. God says, I've poured out my heart to you. I've tried, I've done everything, and you won't respond. They had a choice, folks. They made the wrong choice. I hope that we make right choices. Gainsaying means to deny or to speak against or to contradict. And so God says, you were ignorant of your scriptures. You've read them, but you're not buying it. If you'd known the prophecy of Moses and Isaiah, you would have known that the day would come when Israel would be rebellious. And I would reach out to the other nations I would go beyond you to provoke you to jealousy. And when that happened, and Jesus started reaching to the Gentiles, and when the church went out to the Gentiles, a thinking, knowledgeable, believing Jew who understood his Old Testament should have said to himself, that is that which is spoken by the prophets. It's happening right in front of our face. It's what they should have said. Therefore, this is the Messiah, and this is the true message. They should have concluded that when they seen it happening. All day long means patiently and continually. Folks, aren't you thankful for the long suffering of God? Wow, I am. You stretch forth my hands means a lovingly to embrace you, to welcome you to intimacy and to security. A loving God has reached out to these people time and time and time again. And he, in the Old Testament, you know, he'd deliver them. And then they'd go right back into their idolatry and everything. They just didn't learn. And they resisted in disobedience. So now Israel is set aside. It's in the hand of the Gentiles now. Israel is excluded from salvation as a nation, okay? As a nation. Now, individuals, yes. But I mean, at first, God has given the promises to the nation. And but now God said, okay, I'm done with you for now. And again, there's always that remnant. Always a remnant. And God has gone beyond to touch a church made up of all peoples and tongues and nations. I'm racing that clock. I'm trying to finish this chapter up. Now, is this ignorant unbelief or of Israel? Is it permanent? No. We've already talked about that. He's going to bless them in the future. The answer to that question comes in chapter 11, and the answer is no. I pray that nobody here has ignorance in that regard, because the same ignorance that condemned the Jews will condemn you. I hope each and every one of you are saved. I hope your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You can be as sure of heaven as if you'd already been there 1,000 years. That is a quote from Pastor John Marvin, Kankakee, Illinois. I don't know how many times I heard him say that. Folks, you can be as sure of heaven as you can be as sure of heaven as if you've already been there 1,000 years. So if you're lost here today, get it settled. Don't flirt with eternity. Folks, the stakes are high. Come to Jesus Christ. Christ is waiting with open arms. He will receive you. Let's close in prayer. Our time is up. Dear Father, thank you, Lord, for this great book. Thank you for the study we have in Romans. And Lord, help us to understand your word. Help us, Lord, to apply your word to our lives. And Lord, just help us not to be a disobedient and gainsaying people. Help us, Lord, to be obedient. And Lord, just to strive to serve you. And Lord, I pray that you'll be with Pastor John as he brings a message this morning. Lord, speak through him to us. Open our hearts, Lord, for what you have for us today. And again, help us, Lord, to follow, to be doers. And Lord, just to strive more and more, Lord, to have a closer relationship with you, to have a closer walk with you, Lord, and just help us to be obedient. In Jesus' name we pray.